Just bear with me. I'm all right. But it's very moving after being here as many years as I have. I'm roaring back here for some reason. As many years as I have, because not only have I ministered to you, you guys have ministered to Janice and I and my children. In fact, I have all three of two of my sons and one of my grandsons here. Is my great-grandbaby here? Where is she out in the nursery? Why don't y'all stand up? This is Chad and Patricia. They live at, y'all stand up. Live in, Boca Raton, Florida, and they minister down there in a church, and she speaks Spanish very well. She's from Honduras. And then across the aisle over here, that sounds like a congress, though. Across the aisle, this is my son, Todd, and his wife, Stacy. And I have two grandkids somewhere. Where'd they go? Oh, they went to the back. Okay. And then this is my grandson right here and his wife. And her name is Jessica. And we have, y'all can sit down, thank you. And we have a great-grandbaby named Amabel. And she looks just like me and him and him and him. But she's pretty. I don't know how that turned out, you know. And she does have hair, you know. She does have hair. But I was praying, and it was like, you know, I wanted to kind of share my testimony, because basically, the prodigal son is what I'm going to speak about today. But I was the prodigal son at one time. I know how this guy felt. I know how the father felt, because I had sons that went prodigal on me one time. And I watched God bring them back. I had a mom and dad and brothers and sisters went prodigal. How many of you have prodigals in your family? Yeah, okay. How many of you know we need to pray for them? How many of you know we need to keep after them all the time? I prayed for my mom and dad for 30-something years. They wouldn't speak to me for 15 solid years. But I never stopped praying for them, and I watched God bring them around. I know what it is to watch them come home. And we're living in a day and age right now, thank God we got a president in the White House that's given us more freedom. We can do what we want to do. But I'm going to tell you what, we still got lost people out there that need to hear the gospel. Amen? So I want to share this story. I'm going to read through here. I'm not sure how I'm going to do this. I think I'm going to just read it, stop once in a while, and camp out right there and talk about it. Okay? Is that okay? Can you keep up with the story that way? All right. It's in Luke 15. And the whole story is Jesus was there one day. Let's read it. It says, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. Everywhere Jesus went, somebody came to hear what was going on. Whether they liked him or not, they came to hear what he had to say. Many of them came to trick him and try to make him say something he shouldn't. But how many of you know God knows everything? And Jesus sits there and he knows how to put up with foolishness. Amen? But yet he's there, and it says, and the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. And they probably got their shoulders kicked back with that pride on them. This man sits with sinners and eats with them. Aren't you glad that Jesus comes to your house and eats with them? So he spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which was lost until he finds it? You know, and if put yourself in that Pharisee's place and say, what is he talking about? I just said he's eating with sinners and he's doing stuff, and he comes up with this thing. I don't even know what he's talking about. Let's go a little further. And this is really what blows their minds. It says, and when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. Now they're really thinking about what's going on. But this part, listen to this. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. That probably really got their attention. It's like he was really talking out of his head there for a minute, but now he is way above us. What has this got to do with heaven? What has this got to do with hell? All we asked was a question. Why do you eat with sinners and hypocrites? Okay? And they were the hypocrite, by the way. And then he goes on. I don't think they got it. So I think he comes back to them. You know, has God ever spoke to you more than once? You know, if you didn't get it the first time, he may come a little bit different to really get your attention about it. But the key thing is, I want to give you a little idea today. A little bell ought to go off in our head and say, he's asking a question, or he's telling me something. I better pay attention because he's going to give me another one if I don't do that one. So this is the next one that he did. He says, or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one, doth not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and daughter and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I have lost. And they probably sitting there going, here we go. Got another thing. It don't have nothing to do with him eating with people. And he says, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Same message. No sheep this time. This is a coin. They still didn't get it. So then he goes a little further. Then he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion that falls to me. So he divided it to them, his livelihood. Now I want you to catch something. It says divided to them. The son, the youngest son is the one that asked for it. Out of the way that custom was, and even today in America, the oldest son usually gets the inheritance, two-thirds of it. The younger son or whoever's down the line gets less and less as it goes that way. But the father's there, and he, since the youngest son come and asked for it, he says, okay, reluctantly. And by the way, I think from that son, that was pretty arrogant to come and to say, Daddy, you just soon be dead because I want my money now. Is that not what that says? Am I right? That's basically what he's saying is, you're good as dead to me. You don't mean nothing to me. Man, I'm out of here. I've been waiting for this time to come a long time. You mean nothing to me. I want my money, and I'm old enough to hit the highway, and I'm tired of this place, and I'm leaving. Give me my money. And I guarantee you that was kind of some of the attitude that was by that. But you know, this father is so loving and caring and compassionate towards both of them, to where he probably goes to wherever he goes, and he gets his little money bag out, probably a lot of it because he had servants, and he had a lot of cattle and a lot of everything. So he gets his portion out, and he gives it to him. And he said, here's your inheritance. You take it. And then, let's go a little further. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country. You can't remember anything today. Remember a far country. Because when you start going to a far country, you're going downhill. You have just stepped in the spiral funnel that goes to nowhere. And I don't care how old you are as a Christian, how long you've been a Christian. I've been a Christian for over 40 years. And I'm going to tell you what, anytime you step over that line and you start going, you can sense it, or you should be able to if you pray for discernment and the Holy Ghost is anywhere around you. And He's with you, by the way. And when you start doing that and you feel yourself going down, we need to back up and say, whoa, I need to go back home. There's some things that's uneasy in my life because I'm slipping into a far country. I'm slipping into a place, and a far country is not where God lives. I want you to know that. His address is not off in a far country. And it says, and there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. And y'all know what prodigal living is. That's anything that's against the things of God. In his mind is, I'm old enough and I got money. I can go do what I want to. I can have any woman that I want. I can have any. I guarantee you he probably had a Mr. T starter kit around his neck. He probably had a red chariot with 22s on it. He probably had all the latest things, you know, with DVDs and all the stuff that was on there. Now, I know you're visiting with us, and that's not all true, but in our day and age, that's the way people think. They got to have things to make them happy. But it takes away from the things of God. So he started his prodigal living. He probably said, set them up, Joe. Come on, friends, let's go. He probably set them up with all the wine and the booze. And here, hey, some women over here. Here's some money. Go get you one. Go do whatever you want to do. Man, I'm rich. My daddy had a cattle on 1,000 hills. And I got my part of it. And I'm going to go blow it and I'm going to spend it. Never thinking about putting some aside, because times go fast. And when you're a funnel, it's like being on a slippery banana peel on the gates of hell. Amen? I've been there before. I know what that is, to get on that banana peel on the gates of hell and realize that just one more move, you could have been gone, totally gone. Well, this is where he was headed. And it says, but he had spent all that he had. And there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. You see, God, he allows pain sometimes in our lives to let us know there's a problem. And here's this young man, he's done spent all his money. Now there's a famine, so everybody's suffering. They don't have the money. It's kind of like you guys that's been flooded, you know, and you need help and you can't get help because everybody else is helping themselves right now. They're trying to get the stuff out of their own houses, trying to get it out of the church and do everything. And sometimes you feel like you're all alone. You feel like, where is people when I need them? And this is where he was going. And he was there, and he was in severe need of something to have in his life. He needed things to keep him going, if you will. And it says in verse 15, then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. Now here's a young Jewish boy that has nothing to do with swine. He's always been taught his whole life that that was an unclean animal. And now he is fixing to go into the fields, if you will, to be with the hogs. And he ends up going to the fields in the hogs. And it says he would have gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. And that pod is considered to be a carob. And that's a bean-looking plant that used to fall off of a tree that nobody had nothing to do with. It was just kind of a waste tree. And it was a carob, and it had a bean in it. And it was shaped like a knife handle. And it would fall off the trees, and they would go there. Now, here he is. He's in the pig pen. Can you imagine? Not only go feed the pigs, but now he's in there. He's rooting around. You know, when I was a kid, we had a dairy farm, and we had pigs. And one of my jobs, my job description as being the second son, was to slop the hogs. Y'all don't know what that is, do you? Well, what you do is take everything that was not eaten, everything that looked horrible, smelled horrible, and just, it's like, I mean, even to this day, I can look at some things and it's like, I don't want that. Because I have a flashback of what I gave to old Betsy, that big old fat hog that weighed 400 pounds. And it's not a good place to be. It stinks and it's just bad to be there. A lot of bacteria going. But here he is. He's in the fields, the only place that he can go. Nobody gives him anything, and he's on his hands and knees with these pigs, and he's eating and doing what he does there. And I can just imagine he looked up, and when he looked up, he saw two nose holes right there. And he realized, I am in a bad place. I got to do something about this. This is not the way I want to spend my life the rest of my days. I have no money. All I can do is eat with these pigs, but this is driving me nuts with these pigs out here. They never stop oinking every time you turn around. And then it says he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods, and no one gave him anything. And I want you to know, I believe that there's an umbrella of protection over people as long as they're serving God. And wherever we go, that umbrella is there. Now, if we get a little bit out of it, the Holy Ghost is big enough to remind us you're going the wrong way. And when we step back up under that umbrella, then there's peace and there's joy. Y'all better write this down, because this is a good signal for you. If you get out from under it and your peace begins to go and your joy leaves and you're just trying to fill it with something else to make you happy, you are out from under the umbrella. Amen? You got to come back and get under that umbrella. But he was out of it. He was out of it. He was still going to a far place. He was still missing out on the blessings of God in every part of it. And it says, and no one gave him anything. You know, one of the worst things you can ever be around is a backslidden Christian. They're just no good for nothing. I'm being honest, because I was one of those one time. And I know how not only did I bring myself down, you always bring other people down with you. Because every one of us has a way to influence other people in some way. But he wasn't influencing nobody, because nobody wanted to have nothing to do with him. And he probably told them, hey man, you know, I bought you the last booze that you had. I set you up with your girlfriend, and you got to ride my chariot one day. And you won't even feed me? I'm in a pig pen and you care nothing about me? He's out of the will of the Father. Amen? But then, it says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? See that little light bulb? Boom! Came on, and he said, when he came to himself. See, God will let you go just about as far as you want to go. He hadn't forgot you. He still loves you. He still got a plan for you. But if you want to go somewhere, he'll let you go. You see, because there's something very important about this story. There's three parables here. The first one was about a sheep, right? The second one was about a coin. The third one was about a son. And it says, the scripture says, when they went after the sheep and got it, he went to everybody and told them, and they all rejoiced over the sheep. And when they lost the coin, they went and told everybody, I found the coin that was lost. And the Bible says they all rejoiced. But when the young man left the house, nobody, not even the father, said anything. Nothing. He just let him go. He gave him his inheritance, and he said, bye. And he left. You know what the difference is? Because the son has a will. The sheep does not. The coin does not have a will. But the son has a will. And that lets us know that God will never override our will. If we want to leave, there's a door. If we want to live for God, come on in. It's like the Holy Spirit. He's gentle. He invites us to do things. He never orders. As long as I've been a Christian, and y'all know my story. You know how rough I raised when I was born. I ran away from home when I was 12, and I never went back. And I know how it is to live on the street. I know how it is to be homeless. I know how it is to be rough and tough and have to make it for yourself when you're out there in a world that's lost and undone, and you're the worst one, by the way. I know how that goes. But yet, God never overrode my will. Never. Not one time did he ever do that. I'll tell you what he did. He let me go sometimes and sink to the bottom to where I was eating with the hogs. And y'all know my story. You know how I got shot one time and I was give up for dead. Then I was blind in the eye for 9 months. And God healed me through every one of them, because he never left me. He was there all the time. But he let me do what I wanted to do. But I'm going to tell you what, once I turn my life over to him, then he has never forced me to do anything else. He's so gentle, so loving, so compassionate, so kind. He'll ask you. It blows my mind that the creator that created this world is so polite to you and I. I can't even handle it sometimes. It's like, God is so good. I didn't even ask him, and he just gave me that. He blessed me with something I wasn't even looking for. And it's like, wow, what a blessing. How does he do that? How does he take somebody like us, just human beings, and he comes and he blesses our lives? He's gentle. He's kind. He's loving. He's compassionate toward you. And I'm going to tell you, some of you in here right now, I know that, is the TV thing on? Even on the TV, if y'all, hey. Some of you watching this online, and I'm going to tell you what, you're running. Some of you may be in this room right now, and you're running. God's got a plan for every one of us, but I'm going to tell you what, if some of you stand right on the brink of it and say, no, I can get past this. I can step over that line when I want to. I can play with this over and over and over. We were up at our land one day, and I had my grandkids that was there. They're teenagers. And they had a big old spider web across the trails that go through the woods. I mean, it covered the whole thing, probably 15, 20 foot wide. And it had one of those big old ugly yellow banana spiders right in the middle of it. Y'all ever see those kind? I ran into one day with my four-wheeler, and that thing hit me right on the lip, and just he crawled right up my head like that. We're fixing to have jambalaya in a little while. You folks from up north, welcome to the south. But I showed them. I said, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you what the devil does to people. And they had we started looking around in the leaves, and I found a cricket. And I took that cricket, and I got off, and I took it, and I just kind of pew, threw it right up there. And as soon, that spider had been sitting there about 5 minutes while I was talking to him. And as soon as that cricket hit that spider web, that spider took off from one side of that thing to the other, just pew, like that, grabbed that cricket, spewed that stuff out of his back, I don't know, the webbing stuff, spewed it out, and he bit that cricket, and he rolled that thing up like that, and then he took it and he put it way over here on the top of the spider web, come right back to his post and stopped. Did y'all get that? I'm going to tell you what. When you step over the line, there's an active nest out there, and there's a real devil that will get you. And it's got some people today. Today is your day to get delivered from that. Because what he's done, he might have not killed you right then, but he's going to come back and eat you. And that's what he did with that cricket. He didn't kill it at first. He bit it just enough to get the webbing wrapped around him, and he brought him back up there and put him back up there. You say, well, how do you know that? Because I went back the next day, and I did the same thing. And as soon as he carried him to the side, I got a stick, and I knocked the whole web down, and I got that cricket out and unrolled him, and he was still alive. Y'all hear what I'm saying? You see, sometimes the enemy puts us in a place to where we're basically dead. We can't do anything. We're bound. We can't do nothing. God can't even do anything with us. He's just sitting there watching us saying, I wish he wouldn't have done that. I really wish he wouldn't have done that. I mean, now I got to... How many of you have a guarding angel? I think I got 3 or 4 of them, and I have wore them out. Just by doing stupid things sometimes in your life. That you do things and it's like, why did I do that? That was not a good situation to do. But this is where the son was at right there. And it says, but when he came to himself. See, we got to come to ourselves. We got to be honest with us. You can lie to one another. You can even lie to God. And you can tell enough lies to where you'll even believe it yourself. But we got to stop sometimes, like David did, and say, God, search my heart and see if there be any evil or wicked ways in me. Search me, God. Let me see it the way you see it. Let me have eyes the way you have eyes, and let me see what you see. You see, if we all looked at our lives as Christians today, and I was going to do this, but I'm not going to do it because I'll embarrass somebody. But if I ask you today, are you a son of God? At least respond. Nobody will see you. Are y'all alive? Yeah. But if I ask you today, are you a son of God? Yeah. Okay. Now, I'm going to stop right there because I'm going to ask that same question in a minute. Okay? So just remember that. Then it says, this is what he said. After his thinking, he says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Now, you got to stop and think. Here he is. Now, the only thing he's thinking about is the natural. Nothing spiritual. I'm hungry. I've been eating these pods. I've been smelling the breath of these hogs. And I'm sick of it. And I'm ready to do something about it. And I've been sitting here thinking about what I need to do. Have you ever walked on somebody and you say, man, what you doing? What? I say, what are you doing? Well, I'm thinking. And it's like, what are you thinking? I can't tell you. Y'all ever done that? When you're thinking, when God's dealing with your heart, the Holy Ghost is in there stirring around and trying to tell you stuff that you need to get out of your life, things you need to put in your life, places you need to go, things you need to do. I've been in this wandering thing, I guess, probably for a year or so, just trying to figure out. You say, my gosh, you're 72 years old, you don't know what you're going to do. When I grow up, I don't know what I'm going to be. I'll be honest with you. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm finding some things that God wants me to stretch out and go do. That's one reason I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm not mad. I'm not mad at y'all. I'm not mad at Brother Terry. I just feel like I got to move. If I don't move, I'm going to die. You ever get to that spot? And I'm not saying that what I've been doing has been null and void. I am pleased with the way I think that I've done. I've lived all these years as a pastor. And y'all know the reputation that Baton Rouge has got, and some of the pastors that I sit under failed big time. And I went back to Bible college just for one reason. That was to hear from somebody that had never failed and somebody that knew how not to fail. And that's why I went to Bible college. I didn't learn anything theologically new. I didn't learn anything other than that, other than just be a man of God. Be a man with integrity and do what God says to do. Amen? And that's all I'm asking you to do. And I had a word from God. I went to a friend of mine's church, Jensen Franklin, up in Georgia. And while we were there, we went with our friends, and I go in there, and it's like, man, I can't wait to see Jensen. You know, I know him personally. And we go there, and of course, they got shuttle buses that drive everybody back and forth to the church. They got 26,000 people that go to that church, and it only sits about six. So they run one service, they put everybody on buses, and they pass in one another. I mean, it's like New York City. That's what it looked like, brother. But they're going everywhere. And we get there, and he's not there. He comes on the screen, and he's talking. And I told my wife, I said, he's not here. We come up here to Georgia, and he's not here. So we're sitting there, and he comes on the screen, and he tells where he is. And he said, but I have another guy that's here today. Tommy Barnett. Yeah. And it's like, oh, cool. I know Tommy Barnett. He prayed for me when I was in Arizona. And he preaches. And everything that man preached was exactly what Janice and I needed to hear. We were sitting there. Everybody was clapping. And we were sitting there bawling. I mean, we had snotsicle stuff going everywhere. I'm talking. It was like, oh, man. God is in. He is in this thing. And he preached. And he did everything he could do. And it was over, and I said, well, let's go. And my buddy kept saying, man, I'm sorry y'all came to hear Jensen, and he wasn't here. I've never heard this guy. I said, Brian, it's okay. This guy has got what we need to hear. And we heard what he had to say. But what was really funny, how long do we have today? 3 o'clock is fine? So Janice said, well, I want to get the book that he has. He had a book, and they were selling it in the lobby. Now, you can imagine this lobby. He's got probably 10,000 people at one time going. And I said, well, okay, Bubba, let's go. So we go down there. We go up to the thing, and we go to the window. And this lady told us, said, come over here. So I said, where's she going? You know, so she takes us around. She says, he's going to be right there. So we were like 10th in place to get in that line. We get there, and this young girl comes up with a pad and pencil, and she said, what's y'all's names? I told her Kenny and Janice. She wrote it down, give it to us. Then another guy, big guy, came up, and he said, you have an iPhone? And it's like, yeah, I do. He said, give it to me. I'm going to take your picture with him. I said, okay. So I gave him my phone, and we're standing in line, and we go up there, and the guy that was going to take the picture, he said, now, when you go up there, he said, he's going to come, and he's going to give y'all a hug. And he's going to take you over to the table, and he's going to sign the book, and I'm going to take a picture of y'all. And I said, okay, we can do that. So we get there, and I walked over there, and I was telling him, and I told him, I said, while he was signing the book, I said, we're Kenny and Janice, and we're from Baton Rouge. And I said, we're just here visiting today. And he looked up, and he said, do I know you? And I said, I was at your church about when I first went into ministry over 27 years ago. He said, I remember you, your voice. Do y'all recognize my voice? You know, I couldn't make somebody an obscene telephone call if I needed to. You know? Scratch that off the TV thing. I couldn't do that. And I said, you recognize my voice? He said, I recognize you. He said, you had hair when you was over in Arizona. I said, yeah, I did. I did. This woman has rubbed it off. She puts me to sleep every night, twirling it right there until it's disappeared. And I said, yes, sir. And I said we Baton Rouge got flooded. And I said, we got people from all over coming. And as soon as I said that, he started crying. And it's like, oh my gosh, they got 10,000 people lined up, and this man is, I mean, we're supposed to do this, and zip zap, we're out of here in 30 seconds. And he stops and he starts crying, and he comes over to us and he puts his arms around us, and he began to give us a word. And he said, it's your time. It's your time. And I'm sitting there saying, what? And Terry's mother and Jasmine's daddy prophesied on me 30 years ago that our ministry wouldn't even start until we got in our older age. I'm in my older age. And he said, you have been helping people attain their vision and their dreams for the last 25 years. And he said, it's time for you to take that to everywhere you get invited, and it's time for you to start living out your dream. It's time for you to start doing what God wants you to do. God's good. He's got a plan for you. And I'm going to tell you what, God's got a plan for every one of you. And He wants the best for you. He don't want anything slack. He wants the best for every one of us. And I'm going to try to get on with this sermon. We got to go. But it says, I will arise and go to my father, after the light bulb came on, and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. This is confession time. Now he's brought it from the natural, his hunger part, to realize that I've sinned. Yeah, I'm hungry, but I've sinned. The key thing is, I've sinned. Now, you got to remember, he's still talking to the Pharisees. Remember the story, where he started from. This is still part of the story. And he says, and I have sinned and against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired hands. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. I must have wrote that down twice, huh? And he arose and came to his father. You know, I don't want to put this right there, because that father, when I left home years ago, my family didn't speak to me for a long time. And I would send them cards. I would send them, you know, try to call them. They didn't speak to not only me, but they didn't speak to my kids either. And it was like, Lord, I know one day, I was reading that story, and it's like, you know, I may not run to my father, but he may come to me. And I tell you what, they gave my daddy a birthday party, and my cousin had it at her house, and they probably had 70, 80 people there that day. And she called me, and she said, Kenny, would you come up here and say a few things at the party? I'm giving a party for your daddy's birthday. He was 82 at that time. I said, yeah, I'll come. So I went, and I went in there, and it was like I had things in my mind I was going to say. And I got there, and it was like God took every thought that I had. I couldn't have told you my name. I'm standing there, it's like, I don't have a clue what to say. And I'm sitting there, and I said, you know what? I know a story about the prodigal son, and I'm going to turn it around and call it the prodigal father. Because my daddy was still living in sin. And I literally gave that story backwards, not from the son's point of view, but from the father. But I know what that was to be able to watch him come around. And that was the beginning of about a year of ministering to all of them. But by that time, they started speaking again. And I fed them more chicken. I brought them from Kentwood to Baton Rouge. I fed them chicken. I was growing wings after a while. But I did what I could, and I got him. Before my daddy passed away, I was able to lead him to the Lord. Amen. And what a blessing that was to watch him come, because he didn't believe God would forgive him, and he did. And I told him he did. But nevertheless, there was a time in my life when I was lost, and I know the Heavenly Father was there all the time. Just like this natural father, he had, you know, birthdays, anniversaries went by, different things would go by, and he missed his son. He didn't know where he was. Has the animals killed him? Has somebody killed him? I know he's living a very horrible life. He's in the wrong crowd, and he probably prayed for him every day. Lord, cover him with your blood. Wherever he's at, protect him. And I did that with my sons, both of them. I mean, they're here. Thank God they're saved. Now my grandson is saved. But I'm going to tell you what, I watched God bring them in one at a time. And there was many nights that Janice and I would go to bed and cry ourselves to sleep, plead the blood over them and say, God, protect them wherever they are. God, we know we've done the best we could to raise them and teach them what to do and how to do it, but they're on a journey in a far country. And God, you can handle it. You can bring them back. God, you can do it. You're the one that can do it. My faith is in you, not in what's going to happen to them, but my faith is in you because you can cause something good to happen out of it. How many give me an amen on that? But that father, I'm convinced that every day he got up and he looked out the door, probably walked the front yard just looking down the byways and the highways. Today may be the day. Today may be the day. But one day he was out there and he saw a little speck. That's my son. And I'm convinced that the Bible says that he ran to him and grabbed him and embraced him. And the Bible says he kissed him, and that's a repetitive word. I don't know about nouns and verbs, but I'm going to tell you what. He kissed him over and over and over. And let's read what it says. It says, when he went there, the boy had rose and went to the father, and he still was a great way off, and his father saw him and had compassion on him. And he said, this is my son, and he's coming. And ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, get the best robe, get a ring, get this, get that. The father didn't hear none of that confession. He was so enthroned with his son being there that the scripture says that he kissed him over and over and over. Because he was home. He had come to his senses. And yes, he did repent. And yes, he is at home. And it says, and he bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this, my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. The very thing that Jesus said about the sheep and about the coin, the Father's doing it right now. He's showing them exactly what goes on right there. The Pharisees are still watching this thing. Now, this is where it's going to get to the Pharisees. I want you to listen to this part. Because, you see, the Father had how many sons? How many of them went for prodigal living? Both of them did. One of them just stayed home. One of them went to a far country. Am I right, brother? And listen to it. It says, now his older son was in the field. Now this kind of represents the Pharisee to me. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. Wasn't music good tonight, today? Not ours, the first group. I'm so glad y'all opened for us. Thank you, Nick. So, so he called one of his servants and asked what things these meant. And he said to him, your brother has come because he has received him safe and sound. Your father has killed the fatted calf. Now, you know, that little buckaroo calf is probably one that the older brother fed. And he thought he was going to get a slice of that one day. And that was his pet. That was his fatted calf. And now the father has invited the son in and killed his fatted calf. All right, now let's move on. But you'd think he was happy to see his brother. It says, but he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. He didn't plead with the one that left. He trusted God for that one. But this one should have known better. Because he was there all the time. To me, he was like a Pharisee. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing with these Pharisees. When they said, he eats with sinners. I believe Jesus was pleading with them right there. You know the law. You were born with the law. You're the chosen people. You know God. You're supposed to know God. But you don't live like you know God. Are y'all still with me? So he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years I have been serving you, have never transgressed against your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours comes, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed a fatted calf for him. And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It is right that we should make merry and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. You see, that's a message to the church today. Because many of us have been in the church a long time. And I hate to say this, but we can become very pharisaical. I've seen people come in the doors at this church sometimes, other churches. They don't look like us. They don't smell like us. They don't act like us. And we back up from them. Not intentionally. We just don't join ourselves to them. Jesus was joining himself to the sinners. He ate with the sinners. He saw me when I was in my pig pen, and he came and ate with me. He came and had compassion on me. And he loved me just like he did you. But he's trying to show us today as Christians that we got to do the same thing. We got to accept people for who they are, and get them changed, get them saved. And I got a little message right here. I want to get this. One of them left home, one stayed home. The whole story about this is forgiveness. Forgiveness. And I run across so many Christian people that harbor unforgiveness in their lives. And it turns into bitterness. It turns into anger. And if somebody comes in and something happens in their life and everybody's excited about it, I see jealousy pop up in some people like, who do they think they are? You know, I've been here all these years. Man, nobody ever asked me to teach Sunday school. I've been here all these years. Nobody ever asked me to cook. Nobody asked me to do that. I've been faithful to this bunch. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? This man receives sinners and eats with them. God created us with a will. We have a will. We have a choice. And if you're here today, I want you to listen to this because this is very important. Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means you, that means me, that means Billy Graham, that means the Pope, that means everybody. Everybody that was born under the seed of Adam and Eve, we've all sinned because of what they did in that garden that day. And you say, well, why am I blamed for something that they did all those years ago? Well, I want you to know, Jesus came and null and voided that because he came and died for our sin. So you don't have to worry about what they did. You have to worry about what you do now. You see? And it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We need to know that he died on a cross for you. If you're in here today and you never heard that, I want you to know Jesus came and he'd have died on that cross if you wasn't with the only person in this world. He died for you. Amen? And it says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? You remember that thing I told you about the spider? What are you going to yield to? You want to yield to that? Jesus said the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. We have a decision we can do. God gave us a choice that we can do. He'll never override your will, but he is wooing us, pulling us with his Holy Ghost right now to get us to the place where we'll accept him. But I got some good news for you. You can stay on the good side. Amen? Because in Romans 10:19 it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. This is your day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And I can tell you story after story of times that I've witnessed to people and told them today is the day of salvation and watch them turn it away and watch them die within 2 or 3 months after that. I've seen it happen too many times. Y'all know the story about... Can I tell a story? A good friend of mine, when I was young, we used to go... he was a big, burly guy. And he was my buddy. And everywhere we go, I mean, I weighed a whopping 130 pounds with ears that stuck out like that. And I was mean and cruel to people. It's just smart aleck. It's a miracle somebody didn't kill me a long time ago. In fact, they did try to, but I'm still here. But we would go in a bar room, and I would go in there, and there'd be a bunch of guys in there, and old Roger would come with me. And I had another friend that was just with us. We would go in there, and I'd go in there, and I'd just kick a chair over. Anybody in here want to get it on? Come on. That's just how smart, aleck, and arrogant I was. Because I was a fighter. I learned how to fight. And I was, I hate to say it, I was fairly good at it until I got a couple of teeth knocked out. But I knew I had somebody backing me up. Roger was with me. And they would jump up. Oh, yeah. Let's take care of this little skinny runt. We're going to whip him really good today. Well, they'd come up, and when they did, I'd just kind of ease on out the side, and Roger would take over. Well, we stopped that for a while. I did, because I came to Baton Rouge, and by that time I had gotten saved. And my little brother, I'd go home, and he would tell me, he said, "Have you seen Roger lately?" I said, "No, I hadn't seen him." He said, "You need to go see him. He's got some things going on in his life, and he wants to see you really bad. I promise you, Kenny, you need to go see him." And I put it off. And I did that for 3 weekends in a row. Then the fourth one, when we went up there, my little brother came up to me. He said, "Did you hear about Roger?" And I said, "No. What happened?" He said, "He went to do one of them deals like y'all used to do. And when he did, he walked up to a guy and he took a pistol and shot him 6 times right in the chest." That's when I was a young Christian. And it's like, you know what? And I was reading that scripture about that we're watchmen on the walls. It's our job. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? It's our job to carry forth the good news to everybody, every person in this room. It's not just ours, the pastors here. It's everybody's job. And I'm sitting there, and I had the most horrible feeling I ever had in my life. I started profusely crying, and it's like, oh, no. I was the ticket that could have got Roger out of this. If I would have just gone. I had 3 weeks to go do that, 3 weekends. I used to drive up there every Friday night and stay. And it's like, that was on my watch. I could have saved his life if I would have went up there and told him what happened to me, how Christ came into my life and how God saved me. And I'm not that way anymore. I've been forgiven and I've been set free of that thing and I'm a different man. Yeah. And I had that opportunity to go bring him the good news. Yeah. And I didn't. And I'm going to tell you what, folks, it took me months and months to get over that. Even today, sometimes I'm sad about it. But nevertheless, we all have a Roger in our life. Because you see, I used to step over that line and trick that spider. But Roger stepped over it and the spider killed him. We all got people in our lives that do that. And we got to come to that place as Christians. And I believe that we have an opportunity in the day and age that we live in right now for every one of us to get out and beat the bushes in the highways and tell people about Jesus. You have one of the greatest things that you'll ever have, and that's Jesus in your life. Did not Jesus say, "Freely you received, freely give"? And if I ask you in here, this is the second part of that question. And I am going to do this because I want to see your hands, and I want to see you make a commitment. Because I asked you a while ago, have you freely received from Christ? Let me see your hands. How many have freely, put your hands down, freely given it to somebody else in the last year? Quite a few hands. Well, I want to challenge you. If you couldn't raise your hand, that's your homework. Not from me, but from God. Because Jesus said, "Go ye therefore into all the world, teaching and preaching the gospel of Christ." That's our job as Christians, to get out and go tell people. Because I'm going to tell you what, you can sit here and say, "Well, that, you know, you got those stories, you know, because you was a bad boy." Well, I was, but I'm a forgiven bad boy now. And I can stand with no guilt on me, because I'm going to tell you what, if you come across my path, you're going to find out about Jesus. I've been on racetracks. I've been in shooting galleries. I've been wherever I go, somebody's going to hear about Jesus. I mean, I make it a purpose in my life to tell somebody. Amen? God blesses us. The prodigal son, his madness, traveling, reveling, growling. His sadness, he went to the dogs, he fed the hogs, and homeward bound he jogs. His gladness, he gets a deal, receives a seal, and eats a meal. Woo! Glory! Welcome to the South, brother. I want to ask you today, if you're here and you want to receive Jesus Christ, I know we do. Terry does it a little different than I do. I do it the way I did it. When I was in a church and somebody said, if you want to get saved, you stand up and you let me see who you are, because I'm going to pray for you. And we're going to watch God do a miracle in your life. I mean, when I got saved, people looked at me, and I started down that aisle, and they started clapping and stuff, and it was like, man, you know, I scored a touchdown one time, and I didn't have that many people clapping for me, you know. But I'm going to tell you what, they had a handful of people out of that took me under their wing and discipled me and let me grow up in God, because that's what it's all about. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that means you're going to hell. I'm going to just, bottom line, I can't make it any simpler than that. That's where you're headed. All it takes is one breath. And I've sat before and heard stuff. You know, my wife used to drag me to church. I was a creaster. You know what that is? That's when you go every Christmas and every Easter. And I would hear the gospel, but I would get up and I would leave the church before the pastor got to the back door, because I knew he was coming to shake hands. And when he asked brother whatever to pray, and when everybody did this, I went, right out the door. But one day I accepted Christ. But a couple of times that I left that door and I was almost killed, literally. And it's like, you know what? The pastor gave a word that I desperately need, because if I would have got killed this week, I would have missed God totally. And I'm not trying to scare you by telling you these things, but I'm telling you, we live in a real world. How many of you know that? Yeah. Things happen. We're living in a very dangerous city right now. But never, in fact, somebody just got killed in front of our old house in Maplewood this week, where we used to live years ago. But if you're here today and you need Jesus in your life, I want you to stand to your feet right now. All over this room. Even you guys from New York, if one of you come. Anybody? Okay? We don't have any takers. That's fine. I'm not the one that saves you anyway. Jesus is. But let me put it this way. If you're a Christian and you haven't been given, I want you to stand to your feet right now. All over here. And I'm talking about giving the gospel. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Come on. I'm going to give you a while, because I want this thing to sink in your spirit, man, because we need to be on fire for God. Every one of us, be on the same page. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Come on. This is my day. I'm going to eat. I'm going to take my time. Can I do that? I may not get to come back up here in a long time. See, this is just as important as the second son. Because what we're saying now is the first son is standing and saying, I'm going to be compassionate. When my brother comes home, I'm going to be the first one to go see him. I'm going to be the first one to hug his neck. I'm going to be the first one to help him. And I tell you what, I'll kill my fatty calf for my brother anytime just to see him come home. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord God, for this day, for the blessings of it. We thank you, Lord God, that everyone has heard this word today under the sound of my voice, Lord God, that would take it and really live by it. That, Lord, that we would come to that place, Lord God, and we wouldn't be pharisaical about it, Lord God. But, Lord, we would be the people that you've called us to be, to stand up for righteousness in the days ahead, Lord God, to stand up and share the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord God. Lord, we know that salvation is free, but it's not cheap, Lord God. It cost you your life. And Lord, we honor you in that, Lord God. Thank you for coming and giving your life and covering our sins, Lord God, and making us your children today, Lord God. Father, we thank you, we love you, and we praise you today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
There we go. Hey, here's what we're going to do. Everybody say amen. Isn't that great? Amen. Fantastic. Thank you, Kenny. And he will be preaching again here. And it won't take a long time. We don't let him go. All right, here's what we're doing. We're going to go out this door. And before I forget it, Gary, and I'm going to say, Gary and Connie put this together today for Kenny and Jen. We've got to give them a good thank you. Thank you, guys. And before I forget it, leave no trash in the room. You are responsible for your own trash, and please bring it out in the foyer. There's trash cans in the foyer that will keep the roaches out of here and won't scare all the New Yorkers. Come on, somebody.